Well, Steve, it wasn't quite like that. I knew a little bit in advance that I would be filling in for Brother Alvin tonight. He called me yesterday evening, or yesterday, I guess it was evening, and told me that he would not be able to keep his commitment. But you know, that's all right. It's all right in the sense that I guess this sermon's been worked on for a long time. Not that it takes me unaware, because anytime you are pastor of a local, it always offers the opportunity for you to preach. And at a late date, I don't like to call on other people. However, I have done that. But I figured that since the Lord had placed this on my heart, that I might as well give it to you. Even as late as last night, you know, I received a lot of email. Those of you who are in the Church of Christ group that receive email know that we probably get at least 10 to 12 messages a night. And sometimes I get messages from people I don't even know. And some of them I don't care to know. But one of them that came last night, in fact, I got three last night that kind of fits right along this sermon. One was from a fellow that I work with. He knows that I have a background in electricity, so he emailed me and asked me a question. He believes that the year 2000 is going to be a detrimental year for everyone, and that he wanted to know what he could do to stabilize his home in a way that where he would have electric power. And so I emailed him back that he'd need to buy a generator and everything. But then I received another email, and this one came from Margaret Gill. And Margaret said that in the email that she had been warned by the place that she works that when you're driving along and you see someone driving at you that has his lights off, don't blink your lights at them, or don't flash your lights at them, because this is could be a gang member that's being initiated into a gang, and it's a possibility that this is the initiation, that the first one that blinks the lights at them, they take off after and try to either harm them in such a way, such as shooting into the car or something like that. You know, we live in troublesome times. We live in times when we're going to have to be on the watch. And certainly the Lord has given us ample opportunity to look into the Scriptures and to study out the things that might make us aware of what's happening. And certainly each one of us have read in the Scriptures these warnings that we're to be aware of the time in which we live. And we most certainly should be aware of the time in which we live, because we're faced, every family in this congregation has been faced with trials and troubles, and has been faced with trials and troubles this year. And it seems like that Satan is fast at hand, ready to destroy and confuse and confound us, trying to drive us away from Christ. And the third email that I got was from my daughter-in-law, Beth. And she wrote me a 6-page letter on the problems that's going to be happening in this country leading up to the year 2000. And I looked over the six pages and I read them attentively, and then I put them away just like that. Because, you know, if I'm concerned about the things that's going to come up on us, I know who can help me. I know who can help each one of us. And I know who gives us strength. Because we've all been foretold that God is our strength, that God is our salvation, that God offers to each one of us ample supply. He says that there's nothing that's going to come upon us that we cannot withstand if we have our trust and our faith in Christ. I want to turn to Luke. And it's the 21st chapter of Luke. And again, this has been preached from the pulpit so many times that I don't think I could possibly count that I've heard it preached from this pulpit. We've all read it in the scriptures. And I want to start with the 24th verse of the 21st chapter of Luke. Now these things he spake unto them concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, and them, and then his disciples asked him, saying, Master, tell us concerning thy coming. And he answered them, and he said, in the generation in which the times of the Gentiles shall be fulfilled, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, like the sea and the waves roaring. The earth shall be troubled, and the waters of the great deep, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, certainly, there are those out there that would want your hearts to fail for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. But you know, there's a great promise that's in this scripture, in this chapter of 21st Luke. And if we'll read on, we'll find our answer. We'll find that Jesus Christ is in control. That he has been in control ever since the dawn of ages. That God, through Jesus Christ, has never, ever relinquished control. And he will remain steadfast and sure and unchangeable. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for the day of your redemption draweth nigh. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and with great glory. Now, I don't know about you. Well, I do too know about you. I know that this is one thing that you would love to see. You would love to see the Son of Man descending through the clouds with power and great glory. And he spake unto them a parable, saying, Behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Yes, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And no matter what man may do, whether it be evil or whether it be good, no man can ever change the time of God's timetable. Verily I say unto you, this generation, the generation when the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That is a promise. And that is a true promise, that His words will never pass away. Let my disciples therefore take heed unto themselves. Now He's talking to you, and He's talking to me. Let my disciples therefore take heed unto themselves, lest at any times their hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that the day come upon them unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Not one of us will escape it. It will come. But here's the promise also. And what I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch ye therefore and pray always, and keep my commandments, that ye may be counted worthy, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things which shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man when He shall come clothed in the glory of His Father. What a wonderful sight that's going to be. What a wonderful thing it's going to be able to look up and to see Jesus Christ descending in the power and the glory of His Father. And is this a time when we should be sad, when we should be overly concerned with the cares of this life? It tells us that we shouldn't. That we are to be watching, and that we are to be praying, and we are to be keeping His commandments. And if we do these things, we have no need to fear. We can look up and we can rejoice and be happy. This is the blessing that Jesus Christ is going to give to us, is that our hearts don't need to be troubled, that we can be rejoiced in the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. Yes, we're going to have problems. We're told in the Scriptures, and all of you know the Scriptures that tell us about the day in which we live. Tells us that there's going to be perilous times. In 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, we all have read this, and we all know the Scripture. And we probably understand the Scripture. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. He's telling us that perilous times are going to come upon us. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we see that in today's world. We see that men love themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, this could be the pages of the Kansas City Star. talking. Because men are this way. We see it in our everyday lives. I probably see it as much as anyone. Because I see those that boast and are proud and blasphemers and disobedient. Not necessarily disobedient to parents, but disobedient to the rules and the regulations and the standards that's set up by society. Unthankful, unholy. You would be surprised at the number of students that do not see anything wrong with living together with one another. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And we see that today. We see it on the highway in what's called road rage. We've seen it down this Friday in an office building in Kansas City where a man, according to the students that I teach, went postal. This seems to be the word of the day, is that the person is going to go postal. Well, I know a postman, and I don't think he's that way. But here, we see it on every hand. We see the fact, and we hear through email or through our associations with one another, that we have to be careful, even at a point of courtesy, of telling somebody that their lights aren't on, or that they happen to be setting through a red light or a green light. I guess you're supposed to set through red ones, aren't you? Not the way I drive. But anyway, people are despisers of those that are good. They're fierce. And we have come into a time when many people show the base side of themselves in society. It goes on and says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this possibly could even refer to some of us that are in the Church of Christ. We might love pleasure. I don't think that we love it more than we love God, but it's possible. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And this author says, from such turn away. He's warning you that in the last days, these things will come upon the face of the earth. And that we are to turn away from it. That we are to take upon us the characteristics of Jesus Christ. The characteristics of the people that have gone on before us. Those prophets. The saints of old. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever able. Or, wait a minute, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, that's what I see. We're having a problem within the college that I teach in, is that we have a segment of our society and college that doesn't want to listen to the teachings of the professors anymore, that they think they know more than what we know, that they have been told that we only teach because we can't do. And therefore, we're not to be listened to. Yet, they have nothing of strength to weld themselves to. And I'm telling you here and now that you want strength and you want the ability to overcome evil. Have Jesus Christ in your life. Learn of Him through the Scriptures. Each one of us should be reading these Scriptures daily so that we can understand and we can explain to others these ones that are having trouble. Within the past year, I've seen among the people that I work with two families that have broken up. Two families that have broken up because of pleasures of life. I've seen numerous students that have, their family life has been destroyed. Because of the lust of the flesh. And you know, I don't want that for my loved ones. I don't want that for the ones that I really care for. Those that are within the body of Christ. I want to see them become stronger. Be able to be a living influence upon society. This is our goal. This is our purpose. Is to live so that others can look and see God within us. Just what kind of a faith will it take to stand the trials and the troubles that's is said to come upon the people of the world? What kind of a faith is it going to take? Is it going to take that faith the size of a grain of mustard seed that can move a mountain? Is it going to take the faith that we saw in a young man of 15 years old going out into the forest to pray for the answer that and believe that God would answer him? Is it going to take the faith of the missionaries, the old missionaries that went out with nothing in their hand, nothing to eat? Is it going to take that kind of faith to withstand the trials that is to come upon this people? How did they get that faith? How do we get that faith to answer the call that God gave us? And to stand before a congregation of people and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it going to be a faith that every time we see a problem that we bow our head in disbelief and say, as Brother, I think it was Brother Frank said this morning, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? God, are you really there? He is really there. And what did you do? You probably didn't do anything to deserve it. But the power of Satan is loose in this world. And unless you have a faith grounded in Jesus Christ, you won't be able to withstand the forces of Satan, those fiery darts that he's going to send our way. There's a song that is sung by, or that I heard sung by, I think it was Ray Price. And it's one of the most moving songs that I believe I've ever heard anyone sing. And it's, "You must have faith in everything that you do. Faith will help you find a way. Faith will see you through. Faith can move mountains and span aside the sea. You must follow this guiding light wherever you may be." Yes, we're going to have troubles come upon us, but we are grounded. We're grounded in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is the only thing that will see us through. The only thing that will see us through. I think it was Nephi. Third Nephi. The third chapter. Starting with the 56th verse. It says, "Now it came to pass that Nephi, having been visited by the angels, and also by the voice of the Lord, therefore having seen angels and being eyewitness and having had power given unto him, that he might know concerning the ministry of Christ, and also being eyewitness to their quick return from righteousness unto wickedness and abomination." This is talking about his people. "Therefore, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts and the blindness of their minds, went forth among them in that same year and began to testify boldly, repentance and remission of sins through faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did minister many things unto them, and all of them cannot be written, and part of them would not suffer, for it were not possible that they could disbelieve his words, for so great was his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ that angels did minister unto him daily." I would love to have that kind of faith. I would love to have that kind of faith that angels could minister unto me daily. "And in the name of Jesus did he cast out devils and unclean spirits, and even his brother did he raise from the dead, and after he had been stoned and suffered death by the people. And the people saw it and did witness of it and were angry with him because of his power. And he did also do many more miracles in the sight of the people in the name of Jesus." He had great faith. A powerful faith. An extraordinary faith. "And it came to pass that the 31st year did pass away, and they were but a few who were converted unto the Lord. But as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and the Spirit of God, which was in Christ, in Jesus Christ, in whom they believed. And as many as had devils cast out of them and were healed of their sicknesses and infirmities did truly manifest unto the people that they had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God and had been healed." What a wonderful thing it would be to have the kind of faith that Nephi had here. An extraordinary faith. And he's not the only one. There's others within the Book of Mormon and within the Bible that have that extraordinary faith that it takes. But you must know the Scriptures. You must be able to believe. You know, that is the definition of what faith is unquestioning belief. You know, seeing is believing. But something even more powerful, believing, is seeing. And this is what was brought upon my heart as I read the email that came to me, was the fact that God does not want us to be a down and discouraged people. He wants us to be able to lift up our heads and rejoice and thank Him and to watch and pray and to exercise our faith in Him. And maybe if we exercise our faith in Him, He'll give us an added portion of that faith, that gift of faith that's spoken of in the Scriptures. How wonderful it'd be to have a gift of faith. My prayers are that I would never do anything that would dishonor my God or dishonor Jesus Christ. And my prayers are that I would have that kind of faith that when I'm tested and tried, that I would be able to come through and stand as a witness against evil and stand as a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we sing these songs, this constantly abiding, and then the first song that we sang, it more or less emphasized the truth of what I was to preach tonight. That of faith. That of assurance. That of looking for the good out there in the world and depending upon Jesus Christ as our salvation. And I know that if we look to Christ when we're tried, that He will not give us anything that we cannot withstand through the power of Christ. If we're waiting to stand upon man's merit and in the strength of man, yes, we will fail. We will fail the trials. But if we're strengthened by Jesus Christ, we cannot fail and we will not fail. And this church can stand as an example unto the world that we trust in Jesus Christ and we're not afraid of tomorrow.
Thank you, Larry. Just remember the announcements.
There's one other announcement. There is a something in the back of the building that is a chart. And we need to look at it and see if we can't help replace some of the money that's we're putting out on the downstairs.
Let's bear that in mind, that we are going to need to build up our reserves a little bit because they're going to be dwindled down. And it's looking quite good. It's going to be quite worth it.